All right. Thank you, Garth. Good morning. And I'd like to say, before we get started this morning, Glenn Durham, would you stand up for a second? Glenn won't do it, but there we go. I want you to know that, yes, Glenn and I are wearing the same shirt this morning. But no, we did not call each other about it, okay? So I'll head off all those questions before we get started. I know that there are two things that are in both my closet and Glenn's closet. And one is this purple shirt. And the other is this maroon Argyle sweater. And it's been a number of times that we have had the same article of clothing on. And it just means we have good taste in clothes. Right, Glenn? We share good taste in clothes. So it's my pleasure to be here this morning in front of the church family and our guests and give Dan the sermon time off. Certainly he never gets a Sunday morning off, but give him the sermon time off, and Glenn as well. And Carlos and his family, I believe, are on their way to Florida for vacation. So I pray that the words that are spoken this morning will be seasoned with salt, as the scriptures teach, and appropriate for the need at the time. All right. I want to get us started here. I'm going to drop in a few pictures into this slide right here, okay? And when a picture drops in, I want you to provide like the soundtrack for the picture that drops in, okay? So you see the picture and then you say what is being said in the picture. Okay? Here we go. Yeah, right? Yeah. How about this one? And this one. Right, that's good. That's good. And when you see pictures like that, scenes like that can only mean what? What do they mean? There it is. School is out for summer. I think by now, Deb, even Washington Township is done now. Right? They went to very, very late. So school is out for summer. And the kids say amen to that. For sure, right? School is out. And you see, these kids, they're running because they know school is the end of things like homework. It's the end of maybe in high school, I know they dreaded having phys ed first period of the day. No air conditioning in the classrooms in my school. And tests, maybe some teachers who maybe you didn't have the best year with. So that's why these kids, you see, are celebrating. It's playtime. Another thing that school means the end to are these things right here. Group projects for school. Some of you chuckle already at that, right? Group projects at school. Right, kids? Remember doing your group projects in school? I'm a teacher. I don't give out too many group projects. Because what I've learned is group projects are supposed to look like this. Hey, look at everybody gathered around that table. Look at this one. Everybody's got their laptop out. Everybody's smiling. And they're supposed to teach things like this, you know, about being considerate, getting along with each other, and controlling your issues, pulling your own weight, and participating. And this is the whole idea of the whole group project movement in school, you know, to make it student-centered, not teacher-centered. Of course, if you've been in school, you know that's not always what happens, right? Oftentimes, your group projects end like this. And if you can't read that, that definition of group project says, time to relax while you watch someone who cares do all the work. You ever been in one of those groups? They know. How about this? Look at this guy over here on the left. He asked to compare lab reports. He's in your group, and then he just copies everything that you've done, right? Did you have somebody like that in one of your groups? Look at the slide in the middle. Every group project in the school you have ever done. Look at what it says there. I'll read it for you. One guy, 99% of the work. The guy over here has no idea what's going on the whole time. He's in the group. The other guy says he's going to help out, but he's not going to help out. And over here, disappears at the very beginning and doesn't show up again until the very end. All right. You like that? How about over here, the last slide? I thought this was great. Obviously, there's some angst about group projects, right? Because if you punch group projects into Google, man, you get all kinds of stuff. You get all kinds of stuff like this. What group projects actually taught me is that last slide, right? Well, there you go. Your communication skills, responsibility, collaboration, and teamwork, that's what they're all about. Or look at the big part of the circle. Trust nobody. Trust no one. All right? Trust no one. And so I'll be honest with you, as a teacher, I don't assign too many group projects. Because you know what? I know what happens in the group projects. And this type of thing happens more often than you'd like it to happen. Now, sometimes it all works out great. Okay, don't get me wrong. It all works out great. And if you're a school teacher, you got group projects, go for it. Go for it. It's great, and they can work out just fine. But sometimes they don't. That has a lead into where we're going to go. Where we're going to go today, all right? Before we leave this slide, what would you say? What would you say to these lab partners or these group project partners? Let me hear some of the things we'd say. What do you say to these guys? Come on, pull your weight. What else? That's not fair, man. Anything else? What would you say? Slacker. Look at that guy. He's got nice goggles on. He's got a great smile. But Dave says, he's a slacker, man. He don't look like a slacker, but he's a slacker. The guys in the middle, they kind of look like slackers, right? Some of them. Anything else you might say to these folks if they're your lab partners? Thanks for doing my work. Yeah. If you're one of the, you know what? If you're one of those guys, when it comes time for a group project, you say, boy, I hope I'm on Harry's team. All right, maybe because maybe Harry's going to do all the work. All right, Harry's going to do all the work. If you're a parent and your kid's been in school and they've been in school, if you've had this experience, maybe you've had it. I've had it. Sorry to throw you under the bus, Jess, here. Your child's at home fretting over whether or not their partner is doing their job at home. Because the project's due the next day, all right? And so your child maybe ends up doing both parts, just in case, all right? So this happens. So we would say things to them. Now, maybe for some of us, we're too far removed from that. What about these pictures right here? Oh, okay. There's a partnership, right? There's group work. What do you think about that? Take a look there. We got a husband and wife up there. And I'll be honest with you, all right, last night, okay, last night I was sitting in this nice recliner that we had just bought, you know, we had bought this new chair, and I was sitting there, and from this other room I heard a bunch of these sounds going. I thought, ooh, I got to show that slide tomorrow. So you know what I did. I pushed myself up out of the recliner, made my appearance in the next room, you know. Oh, how's it going in here? Okay, you know, everything was under control. It was good, you know. You ever done that? You just go and you make an appearance, right? You just make an appearance. Well, I was there. Well, it looks like it's under control. You got it, babe. Do you need anything? Of course, if you'd gone in there 15 minutes earlier, you'd have had an answer. Yeah, sure. But, you know, you just find the right time to go in. Do you need anything? You just kind of, you make your appearance, you know, and then you can hear like if there were a police call, it'd be like,
hey, there's an all points bulletin. There's been a husband sighting in the kitchen. A husband sighting in the kitchen, or
maybe it would be something like not even a husband sighting.
We have a suspicious person walking around the kitchen, lurking around the sink,
or something like that. Okay, what would you say here? Do your, I don't know, never changes. Right? All right, we don't even want to say anything. But we would say things to these people, right? Well, here we go. We use these slides. We're going to get back to them later on this morning to talk about we're growing the kingdom. That's been our theme for the year. Growing in kingdom, and we've had a different number of things that we've been talking about. Glenn started us off talking about growing the kingdom. Horatio gave us a lesson on growing in faith. Greg gave us a lesson on growing in spirit. We're going to hear lessons on growing in fellowship and growing in sacrifice later in the year. And the truth of the matter is that for this sermon here and this lesson, I just happened to, among the eldership, these were put out. And for the growing in service lesson, I happened to draw the short straw. All right, the short straw. That's what I happen to draw, the short straw for the growing in service sermon. Now, you may say, well, why would you even say that? Why would you even say that? I mean, obviously, that didn't happen, but I feel like that's what happened. Because I'm supposed to come here today and give a sermon about growing in service. Right smack in the middle of a huge time of service for our congregation. VBS. We had all kinds of service going on during VBS. Host families, a group from Indiana coming here, like I said, host families, donations of cookies, meals being made at the building, tour guides taking groups to New York City. I'm supposed to give a sermon on growing in service to our church fellowship here. And I think family promise is right around the corner, right? And we know what happens during family promise. All kinds of people spend the night at the building. Making meals. Driving people back and forth. It's summertime. Think of all the service that goes on in the summertime. We have people here who direct camp. We have dozens of people who go up and take vacation time and serve up at camp. We have Tim, who's been preparing a mission team for our teens and who are going in August. And I'm supposed to come up here and say, all right, we got to grow in service at this congregation. So that's why I got the short straw. I got the short straw on that. So, let's first. Yeah, there it is. Here we are. Let's first start with this. All right, on behalf of the elders and the leadership of the church, we just want to thank our congregation. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all the things that have been done. All the things that are being done. Even today, we got a graduation party. We had a graduation party yesterday, today. Who knows? I think we're having, there's always parties going on around here in this congregation. Thank you so much. When a need arises, it's met in our church family here. All kinds of small needs, large needs, needs that require great coordination. We took a trip. I didn't take the trip. But other people had servant hearts and went up on that trip to New York City. Where's Derek? And Brenda Bush, yes, thank you so much for that. Big, take coordination. But you know, some of the service things that we do are very small. Here's a very tiny one. My daughter was house-sitting for the Petersons last week. And you know, I'll be honest with you, it can get kind of spooky out where the Petersons live at night. All right? And that's when Charlie's not home. It's not spooky when Charlie is home. All right? It's scary when Charlie's home, but it's not spooky, okay? So, you know, you're out there kind of in the middle of, it's not quite the middle of nowhere, but you feel a little secluded, kind of dark out there. And when you know, three sisters in Christ went and spent nights with my daughter out at the Petersons. Isn't that great? Mallory, thank you. Claire, who's not here, thank you. And Isabella also, thank you. So we serve in all kinds of ways here at this congregation. So thank you so much for those acts of service, large, those acts of service, small. So knowing that, I said, well, what are we going to talk about for service? I also know Dan and Carlos are going to follow up. And I don't want to talk about ways you can serve, because I imagine they'll probably talk about stuff like that. Well, what can we talk about here? So, what the Lord put on my heart was three reflections, three things for us to reflect on as we think about growing in service. personally growing in service. And Garth already got us started on one of them. Three things for us to reflect on, all right? The scriptural foundation for it, and through the working of the Spirit, of course. Garth's passage that we had read this morning is one of the scriptures that we'll see up here again. Then something I've called the growth curve, and then the growth line for us to apply personally in our lives. And look, I admit, when you see me, you say, yeah, Mike's a teacher. There it is. I can't help it. You know, I can't help it. But I hope that in some way that we'll all be able to apply them in our lives when we get to that point. But first, growing in service, the scriptural foundation. We know that there's a scriptural foundation. If you were here during VBS for Chris Seidman talked about this. He used a number of these scriptures. And if you weren't here for VBS, man, I encourage you to get copies of those CDs when they are available. What a blessing. What a blessing he was for our congregation. Absolutely a gift from God to our congregation. So do yourselves a favor. Get the copy of those CDs. But here we have, you're familiar with this from Mark chapter 10. But it is not this way down towards the middle among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. Okay? Shall be your servant. Remember the context there? The context there was James and John wishing to sit on the left and right side of Jesus. And of course, Chris reminded us that sitting near the host of a banquet, that was great honor. All right? Those who were given honor sat near the host, and then the further away you sat, okay, showed your status and your relationship with the host. So here, the audacity, Chris had said, of these men to want to sit right there. And Jesus, prior to this passage here, he said, you don't even know what you're asking. You don't even know what you're asking. And then later on, he goes into this to teach them a lesson that it's not about receiving honor. It's about service. About service. The great among you shall be your service. All right, so we know that passage. Chris also shared this one. You're probably not going to be able to read it. I wanted to get it on one slide. But you're very familiar with John chapter 13, 3 through 17. All right, you're very familiar with this passage. What's happening here? Well, it's at the Lord's Supper. And Jesus rose from the supper. And afterwards, what did he do? He washed the disciples' feet. And what I appreciate about Chris is Chris brought out to us the point that he girded himself with a towel. And Chris reminded us that he wasn't just girding himself with a towel because he would need to dry his hands. But that in the Roman times, how you dressed reflected your status in society. So when he girded himself with a towel, he was taking on the character of a slave. No toga, no garments, no hat, no purple stripe or something, no gold rings that showed your different status. But when he girded himself with a towel, that's how the slaves dressed. So he took on the form of a slave, and then what did he do? He washed the disciples' feet. And you see right there, that red isn't coming up. He says, I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. That service. And he says, if you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Okay? All right? So we with it so far? So we have the example of being a servant. That's how you become great, being a servant. We have the Lord himself taking on the nature, the look of a slave and washing the disciples' feet. So we see Christ himself doing it. Three more passages. We're familiar with Galatians 5:13. You see there, through love, serve one another. Through love, serve one another. Romans 7:6. But now we have been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound, so that we serve in newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now, what's Paul talking about there? In newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. He's talking about the problem that the Pharisees had that Jesus was trying to correct. Their service being based on the law. Being based on the law and what was written down and a list of dues. All right? And that being their service. He hints at it again in 2 Corinthians. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. What Paul is telling us here is that our service is not a prerequisite for our relationship with God. You see, we tend to do this, and no matter how hard we try, we tend to get into the mindset that if I do this and this and this and this and this, then maybe God will find me worthy at the end. We do that. That's what we do. We may do it in our service as well. But Paul shows us here that service is not a prerequisite for our relationship with God. You see, that's how the Pharisees thought. I got to do this, 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 and I'll be right with God. Their heart wasn't in it. Garth prayed about that, our hearts being right. Their heart wasn't in it. I got to do this, 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 and I'll be right with God. As opposed to Paul's description here, it comes out of a newness of life. It's not a prerequisite. It's a product. It's a product of our relationship with God. That's what our service is. A product of our relationship. And that's exciting. All right? So in Scripture, we have these foundations for us to reflect on. Jesus tells us if you want to be great in God's eyes, then you become a servant. That we can't deny that. It's written. He takes on the form of a slave and washes his disciples' feet. We can't deny that. There's the God of the universe washing the feet of his creation. All right? That's humbling. That's humbling. And then Paul tells us love is a part of it. Through love. That agape love. Not the feel-good love all the time. The agape love. Serve one another. And to realize that our service, we're not checking off boxes. Service is a product of the newness that we've been given. So it's all through Scripture, and there's plenty of other places where we can find Scriptures on that, okay? All right. Second two reflections for us to personalize, if we can. You've seen this, and if you're in a Hamilton Life group, you say, man, we're going to look at this thing again. All right? I'm calling this the growth curve. The growth curve. If you look at that there, what you see is, remember Mark chapter 12, verse 30, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And there we are as a Christian. See, that's our soul, and when we're found in Christ, it's blue because we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. When you're with Christ, when you put on Christ, you got the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the new creation you are. It's your spirit and His spirit like this. That's why it's important to be found in Christ, because if you're not, His Spirit isn't like this with yours. And then His Spirit working in your spirit with your soul starts to change the way you think and the like. And so to that we add a growth curve. Here it is. Look at that. Isn't that fancy? Here's the growth curve. As I look at my life, growing in service. All right, well, the first step here is always the deciding process. I've got to decide. This is my knowledge. Am I supposed to serve? Yes or no? Are we supposed to serve? Yeah, we're supposed to serve. We read about it in the Scriptures. There's the knowledge. So that's the first part of growth. God wants me to be a servant. He wants me to be a servant. And then I say, okay, I see that, I got it. But then we have to turn our knowledge into action. And we do. All right? We do. We serve. Knowledge into action. Okay? Now, this looks pretty good so far. Hey, I know God wants me to do it, and so I do it. But we have to be careful, because that's good in and of itself. But that's where the Pharisees got, that's where they stopped. That's where Jesus was correcting. Because the complete growth curve for us is not just to know, yeah, it's what God's Word says. All right, I'm going to do it because I have to do it. Or because maybe I'll get something out of it. Maybe it'll make me look good. Maybe I'll get status. All right, that's what we have to watch. But the last part of that is over here, is where the heart, where our knowledge turns into action, and our actions are accompanied by attitude. Attitude. That we delight in doing service for others. And so that's a part of, I know for Mike, look, I'll admit, see that number two? There are times when I'm like, all right, and you just go. Countless times I've been more blessed than I imagined I would have been blessed by doing it. But there are times when I don't delight in doing that. And if you're honest, you're going to say it's the same thing. The same thing. Okay? But that's our own individual growth curve. Not just to know that God wants us to serve. Not just to go through the motions and do. That's great. That's better than knowing and not doing, right? That's what Jesus said. And I think it was one of the scriptures we looked at. Okay, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. And Chris pointed that out to us as well. Blessed are you if you do them. All right. And then to have the heart of Christ to delight in doing these things. I think Mallory delighted in helping out Jess and spending the night. And Claire as well. And Isabella as well. They don't have to do that. Didn't have to do that, and they did it. So as we reflect on growing in service, here's one of the things we can think of, our own personal growth curves. Guess what? My curve's not going to be your curve. And God doesn't expect it to be that way. All right? Because not only do we have an individual curve where we can examine ourselves here, but even better is this right here. And this is the news of the gospel. This is what the Pharisees had lost sight of. And it's a growth line. See, all of us are on a journey. We're all on a journey. We're all on a journey over time to become more Christ-like. Christ-likeness. We all have a curve. We all have a line. All right? And so, what do we have here? Well, look at that. Man. I know people like that. That's not me. There's that. Here, maybe your line could be like this. Maybe your line, your growth line to Christ-likeness is like that. Maybe it's like that. Maybe it's like that. All right. Look at those lines. Are you one of those lines? I just put them in arbitrarily. But you have your own line. Up there. And here's the best part of, you know, when the scriptures talk about we have freedom in Christ, and we have freedom in Christ, is that when God looks at my growth line, He's looking at my growth line. He's not comparing my growth line to Dan's growth line or to Larry's growth line. He's not comparing your growth line to my growth line. You know who He's comparing my growth line to? To me. Where did I start? Where am I going? Notice, all three of these lines end up what direction? Up. Growing in Christ. And that's the story of the gospel. That's the story of the gospel. Right? We don't have a set of things we have to do. God's looking at us to grow. And we're talking here in this sermon about, all right, the direction of our life. That's what God's looking at. The direction of your life. Are you going to blow it? Yeah. You're going to maybe not serve where you could have served? Yes. It will happen. You're going to say, I should have. Who here has said, I should have? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The freedom in Christ is that God says, hey, come to me. Come to me. I'm concerned about your direction. Your direction. I know you're going to blow it. But are you moving towards Christ-likeness? And with our lesson today, our challenge this year is to grow in service. Is this what our growth line looks like? Will we be growing in service? And that's what we want to be. That's what we want to be doing. All right? So what are our reflections? Reflect on the Scriptures. The Scriptures are clear. He wants us to serve. Okay? Your own personal growth curve from deciding, having the knowledge, to the doing, the action, to the actually delighting in serving. All right? And then understanding that God is graceful, God is merciful, and we're gonna mess it up, but this is what He's concerned about. My personal growth line. My personal. He wants me to grow. So let's go back to our partners here. This is where we started, right? What did we say to these individuals? Well, we called them slackers, right? And we said some other things to them. Can that happen in churches? That can happen in churches. That's why we have the two personal, our own growth curve and our growth line. That can happen in churches. All right? But what does God say? What does He say to those people? What does He say to us? He says, grow. Grow. Grow in service. And over the next weeks when we have these lessons, I'm sure Dan and Carlos are going to give us ways, talk about ways we can grow in service. And that will be time for us to reflect, not to feel guilty, just to reflect on our own personal growth in service. All right, I want to end here going back to this passage. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. Notice, the first time we looked at this, what was highlighted? Anybody remember? Servants was highlighted in red, okay? But notice, this will be highlighted here at the end. Our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the Spirit kills, I'm sorry, but the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, I'll be honest with you. As I was getting ready this morning, I did not feel adequate about giving this sermon here in front of a group of people who I hold in such high esteem and a group of people who serve. I did not feel adequate. And I was asking the Lord, Lord, man, what else? What can I say? And you know what? This is what happened. Here's an extra sheet. I went to my Greek interlinear, all right? Bill Murray was here. He'd love it, the fact that we went there. And I was directed to that word, adequate, there. All right? I did not feel adequate. That word is the Greek word, hekanos, all right? It's related to the Greek word, heiko. And you know what it means? You'll love this. It means to arrive. One of its meanings. To arrive. Further understandings. It means competent. As if you're coming in season. It means ample. Sufficient in amount. It means fit for character. Other words, enough. Secure and worthy. So look what Paul's telling us from God here. Our adequacy. Man, that word seems inadequate, doesn't it? Your arrival. Your arrival. Your worthiness. Your sufficiency. You are enough. Your security. You're secure. You're ample. You're fit. God has fit us. He's given us what we need to do what? To by His Spirit, live by His Spirit, and serve. So the question for us as we finish and we think about these things, is that how we see ourselves this morning? Do you feel like you've arrived? Right? You've arrived, that you are competent, that you are enough, that you are worthy, you are sufficient, you got all the things you need. Well, guess what? God has told us with His Spirit, we have those things. We are those things. So God told me this morning, He said, Mike, you've arrived already. You got enough. Just get up there and My Spirit will be enough for you. And He wants to say that to each of us today. My Spirit is enough for you. And the question is for us today, Garth is going to lead us in a song. Do we feel that way? If you don't feel that way, God wants you to feel that way. You are competent. You are enough. You are sufficient. You have arrived. It is your season. I'll put my straws away here. It is your season. But if by some chance you don't, because the world's got you down or something's got you down, the church is here ready to pray for you, to encourage you. All right? If you say, you know what, I don't have that connection with that Spirit of God. I want to figure out, I want to ask questions. How do I do that? I want to arrive. I want to be worthy. I want to be sufficient. This also would be a time for you to come forward when Garth stands and leads our song. And we'll show you, point you in a direction that you can do that. Growing in service is just growing in Christ-likeness. And that's what He's tasked all of us to do. May He bless us in our efforts to do that.